I'm like, right. Hey guys.
Oh god, you have to wear the BotCon now. Outside of a black shirt, so it's easier to see.
Oh, I will. And I'll have like black a big, thick ass chain on it too.
Like a big rope from the 80s. A gold rope.
I'd be like, yeah, my clock's in the shop, so what?
And a I got a Matrix. Hat. Gotta get a Kango hat. What the fuck's going on down there?
Oh, hi there, everyone. I'm Vangelis with the WTF and TFW podcast that you're now tuned into. It's episode 129, and we are ringing in the new year. And I just realized I tagged this file as saying that it's January 2010, so I've got to go fix that after we're done recording. If you are the same as me and you have a lot of trouble remembering to type 20 new year rather than 20 last year, let me know in the thread. Joining me today is Seth Buzzard.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Why did you,
a pleasure to be here.
Why did you walk out on the last episode you were on, like they all said in the thread?
Because I'm a hater.
Hey, what, man? Dang, good old dang haters. Dang old man. Timeliness is can't get this whole thing together. But dang, don't. Dang.
Also here today, guesting in, is Dan. Defuzz!
Hello!
How are you doing, and what have you done since we last talked to you?
I've done quite a bit, actually. I guess the biggest deal of them all was my daughter was born back in October.
That's a pretty big deal. Whoa.
Yeah.
You should have saved that for what we got.
Well, I didn't get that this week. I got that a couple months ago. But she's my little micro fuzz, and I love her to pieces. And other than that, I've had my ups and downs with the fandom and my place in the world, but I think I know who I am now, and I'm happy to be here. And
did you go on an Aboriginal walkabout or something?
Yeah, just downstairs, and I discovered Steam's wonderful Christmas sales. So,
I spent so much.
Damn
money on that!
Yes,
I actually bought Dawn of War 2 and the expansion pack, and then the next day I forgot I bought it, and then the day after it I looked at the bill and I was like, right, because it was like what, $20?
Yeah, I did that with Blood Bowl too. I'm like, what is this $20 charge? And like, I bought Blood Bowl. Right, that's right,
friggin' Steam. I forgot about that.
Yeah, because there was like great stuff every day, and as soon as I saw something, I'm like, yep, buying it. I probably bought like 10 games.
I actually, on my Cape Radio show, while the Steam sale was on, when Mass Effect, it was like, what, $30 for both Mass Effect games? So I went on, and I was like, so who here hasn't played Mass Effect? A whole bunch of listeners said they'd never played Mass Effect, had no intention to, and I browbeat like 15 of them into buying it that night. Because I was like, listen, you may not play it today, you may not play it 6 months from now. Go spend the money. You'll thank me later. And two of them have thanked me later.
Good no, man, I just started man. I just started buying games for people on my friends list. I just went into their wish lists, and if you didn't have a wish list, you were out of luck.
I just realized, I went looking, I did have a wish list.
I looked at your profile, and I didn't see one.
I looked too, and it said that I had one, but I don't know if it was not displayed or something.
Seth got me something that wasn't even on my wish list. But,
what? I thought I... No? Did I? No.
Well, I had Dawn of War 2 on there, and you bought me like a different Dawn of War. And I don't say that to call him out or knock him on anything, because it was like an awesome gesture, a pleasant surprise, and I played through the intro.
Here's the expansion
I think
pack.
The game is amazing, so... I just thought it was weird because like he gifted it to me and then it was on his wish list as well. I'm like, should I buy it back for him or like wouldn't he buy it for himself? Or, I just got confused.
Steam just confuses me constantly because I don't jump on it enough.
I didn't do that expecting anybody to get me anything back. I was doing it because I was all full up of the Christmas spirit and whatnot.
Ho ho ho!
And it was just like, there's all these awesome deals. How I gotta buy something and. There's nothing I want. He's already have it, so I'll just start getting everybody else there.
I'll get you some beers at BotCon.
Okay, that's cool.
Can you play those?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. This all seems very familiar, hearing you and Seth talk about
Shut video up.
Okay.
Old habits die hard, what can I say?
Just plugging it back in. Gog Dog is not with us today. He is feeling under the weather. And the one thing that I always maintain as part of our WTF at TFW doctrine is that you actually don't have to show up. So hopefully he'll be feeling better sometime soon. Send your positive thoughts out to Gog Dog in the thread on Twitter or wherever it is you like to Gog Dog it up. Also, just a little update, just in case you don't know this and you listen to 127 and were hideously confused when Seth stormed off after, you know, building it up for 2 hours. The rest of 127 is up. Please go listen to it if you want to hear the rest. Just bear in mind that it's partly a podcast, partly experimental performance art on my part.
And for episode 127, for anyone that wasn't able to figure it out, that was all goofing around.
No, it wasn't. I hate you.
Shut up. I told you. I told you play along. No one has to get hurt.
I'm going to judo throw you.
Whatever. Lightsaber boy.
I forgot about the lightsabers, and then suddenly you guys were talking about lightsabers, and I got so flustered, and I was like, wait, what? And then I remembered like halfway through. That was fun to record, but I don't want to do that constantly. Anyway, let's talk about some Transformers. That's what we're here to do. First topic is I'm guessing this may be one of the last times we get this, unless this Ron Friedman dude has like he's like, oh, by the way, I just realized I have a cellar under my garage. There's another 500 pieces of memorabilia under there. There's a little bit more info that we got from the Ron Friedman auctions, if I understand correctly, from Kjiva. Namely, he scanned a whole bunch of pieces of this this document that he got. I believe it was kind of like an outline document. The main, most important parts of it, aside from being kind of like an outline of characters, an outline of events with some handwritten notes and stuff, like, you know, we're looking to get Orson Welles to play the entity. Well, don't worry, guys, you succeeded. We kind of got a clue as to who the Anibots were, a lion, tiger, eagle, buffalo, and rhinoceros, who combine. Kind of makes it obvious now to me that they were the Predacons and Predaking. And I went in the thread, and I got to say, I don't mean to slight you guys at all, but I think the sheer number of people saying, oh, I knew they were the Predacons, I think some of you guys might not have known they were the Predacons. I don't know. I thought I would have read more people saying Predacons than I did, given the number of people who said, oh, I knew they were the Predacons. But, you know, maybe you didn't post in the first thread. I don't know.
Well, it's like the people who claim that they've always been into the band that just had their first big hit single.
Always been
so, into. So, yeah, I was into Green Day when they were still on Lookout Records. After Longview came out, it's like, dude, you never heard of them before Longview came out? Shut up.
I don't know anything about Green Day. My hands are in the air. This one. The other big thing that we got out of this was we got to see on hard paper, and it actually made a lot of people get mad again after all these years, the death list. The list of you can kill these people. And I was like, that's kind of awesome in a really grisly way. Other things were stuff like, you know, other names for Unicron, other suggestions like Ingestor, the Amalgamator, Masticar, Unitron. I liked Masticar because not many people reference mastication nowadays.
Yeah, it is a good one, Masticar.
What was the one before that?
The Amalgamator.
Yeah, that's horrible.
that sounds
horrible.
That sounds like a nerd, like who you know, with taped glasses and a pocket protector and everything, who has like calculators.
I'm the Amalgamator.
He's got calculators strapped all over his body with duct tape. I don't know. Dan, our special guest star, what are your thoughts on some of this stuff or any of this pre-production stuff from the Friedman garage?
I think it's all pretty interesting. It's kind of like, you know, that piece of Transformers lore from a past we all know and love. It's always kind of neat to see something like this surface after so long, that, you know, something we all know so well, you could still kind of see something new in it. And this has been quite the treasure trove. The no kill list, I just think that's funny that I mean, not to slight anybody on the boards, but people getting ticked off about that is—it's kind of amusing to me.
I'm sure anyone who got riled up will see how it's kind of funny, just because it was totally like it felt like a lot of you guys just had these feelings from the '80s. You'd quelled them down, but then when you saw in hard written text "these people can die," it all just came rushing up after all these years. You're just like, God damn it!
it's amusing, and you know, I love this property too, and I admit, when I was a kid, I was a little upset when Optimus died and a few of the others died, but you know, I'm over it now. It's all good. The names for Unicron are fantastic. Like I so want to somebody to write some fan fiction of like the brothers of Unicron, like you know, Amalgamator and Masticore or whatever his name is. I mean, those are great names, and yeah, it's no wonder why we got Unicron. That's definitely the best of the bunch.
Yeah, it is. Although I'm never going to be able to get over some of these. Like I want to see some fan designs for these other things.
Yes.
Like what would a Unitron be? That sounds like the knockoff Unicron who doesn't eat planets.
Yeah, that's the Big Lots version.
Seth, what are your thoughts on some of this stuff?
It's hard to imagine Predaking being an Autobot team. Like, makes you wonder, like, if their colors would have been different or something.
They would have had to be, because he's, like, black and red and orange. That's, like, Menace colors.
They make him, like, blue and yellow or something like that.
Yeah, and, like, brown.
Yeah, I could see, like, I could kind of get how there might have been a point where they were thinking of making them Autobots, because it would kind of feed in with like how the Dinobots were created.
Yeah.
And then like maybe that's just like Ratchet and what's his face's whole deal. God, I forgot the character's name.
Perceptor.
No, before Perceptor. Ultra. You have the flashy blinkies on the side of his head.
A Wheeljack.
Wheeljack, thank
flashy
you.
Flashy blinkies, man. On the side of his head.
Well, hey, you knew who I was talking about when I said that.
Very true.
I wish.
No, well, they created the Dinobots. Like, maybe that's like, we like building animals. So, I mean, I could see kind of how that could have been a consideration. It's just hard to imagine that happening. And he's so good as a bad guy because he's so huge and just.
And spiky.
Ass kickery.
He's got curves and sharp points.
And so, I mean, that's neat. And, like, man, that kill list is kind of sad. Yeah. Because it's like they did all these dudes. I'm looking at the list right now, and there's Wheeljack's name on it. If I had glanced over a little earlier, then I would have been reminded what his name was, and I wouldn't have had that embarrassing moment.
I also really like, I think it was TFW member Dr. Bifford said, so will this piece of news finally put to rest the debate of whether Braun is dead? And I'm just going to tell you, sir, Braun is not dead. This is not a debate.
Well, Shockwave is on that list.
Yeah.
But you never see Shockwave in the movie, do you?
You
like,
do.
Not even in Crowd.
Yeah, you see him when like Unicron's attacking.
He has a line. He's like, scramble.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and the big rumor for years was that scene was extended to the point of Unicron like crushing the tower he was on.
And but Shockwave like is in crowd shots during at least once in season 3, though, right?
I can't remember. I think his model might be.
Shockwave actually.
Yeah, probably. No, but I think there's at least one shot where like on Char or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever the Decepticons are just all being bummed out, there's like a shot with like a bunch of Decepticons and like Shockwave's just in there.
You know but what?
He's not doing anything. He's just hanging out.
What I noticed in that outline that I was going to bring this up before, when Unicron turns into a robot and starts going all rampage, they mention, you know, Decepticons getting slaughtered and, you know, he eats a bunch of Decepticons. But then they also mentioned the Autobots getting wrecked as well, and like Daniel pulling away the survivors who are in the toy line, And that doesn't really happen, does it? Like, I don't remember any Autobots really dying during the big final battle.
You get to stay on the shelf. Come with me.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
You got Come with me if you wish to survive, retail.
Daniel's just got a big corporate sign on his back.
But Hasbro, chief marketing strategist.
The other thing I really liked about this was the Sunbow Productions letterhead on the first page of the documents. I don't know why, but that made me really smile. You don't see letterheads enough nowadays. But I bet you by next week we may have yet another Ron Friedman topic at the rate this stuff's coming out, and it is marvelous. I've really said way too much reiterative stuff about why I think it's marvelous, so I'll just leave it at that. Either of you guys going to go buy some Ron Friedman paper?
No.
No, me neither. No,
I am not.
It's cool, but
that
not
hardcore.
That, yeah.
I really want to again thank all the guys who have been not only getting this stuff, but painstakingly scanning it all for us.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of work. And
yeah. I mean, it's definitely cool memorabilia. I mean, everything about it is cool. It's not the sort of thing that I would collect, but it's extra cool that the people that are putting out the money for it and are, you know, going to be preserving this are also sharing it and
yeah.
not just being like, this is mine. I will dispense the secret that I desire.
Exactly.
Because he tell me.
that made me so happy because I was like, all these guys, they dropped all this money and they aren't hoarding it. They aren't being film buffs about it. They're not like, oh yeah, I have the only surviving reel of the 1927 cut of Metropolis. It will be in my vault until I die. Like, you know, I wouldn't be the one to do it. But then someone, you know, just go over there and like, hey, guess what? You're dead. Open the vault. I don't know.
Hey, guess what? You're dead.
Like, I'm not dead yet. It's like, oh, you shouldn't have said that.
Surprise! Now you are.
Merry Christmas. Let's talk about some new picks. I got a whole bunch I can talk about, so I'm going to go last because, damn it, if the third parties are not active, and I know there's a whole debate about that stuff, but you know, generally, a lot of this stuff I like where it comes from, and it's filling in that void of news at the moment. If you are not looking at movie toy stuff all the time. For those who don't listen to the spoiler section, guess what? Movie toys are stolen and showing up on the internet. Seth, what is your new pick?
Yo, speaking of third party, have you heard about these Gear for Toys guys?
I have never heard of them in my life.
Me neither, but they got some add-on kits that are unlicensed and coming soon.
Yeah, and they have a blog spot.
Good.
Good. I'd be pretty mad if they didn't.
It's only going to be $20. You know, that's pretty good for a lot of these kind of add-on kit third-party business.
Absolutely.
$20 isn't bad. That's a nice price.
It's $20 and there's joints.
Well, I was just about to describe what it is. Oh. We should just keep talking about it without actually saying what it is.
We never actually brought up what this is, have we?
No, I was building up to it.
I was all excited. Like,
it has joints.
I like ice gummo. Cream.
You're so gummo right now.
Ice cream!
This is going bad places really fast.
Yeah, so they're going to put out an upgrade kit for your Generation 1 Ironhide and Ratchet.
Yay!
That give them articulated arms and more cartoon-ish heads. I do have to say, Ironhide's head sculpt, he has like weird puffy lips.
I'm going to look right
anybody
there.
Know?
Yeah, if I got to go look knows, at that again now.
Oh my god, those lips.
They're so supple.
Yeah, it really reminds me. And this is going to be kind of obscure, and only a handful of people are going to know what I'm referencing. He really, really looks like a silver version of Boogie Boy from Devo. Yeah, like what? I'll link to a picture later when I free hands.
Yeah, but, well, I got to see a comparison.
For you guys' benefit. But, yeah, it's weird.
Look at Ratchet's kind of got it going on, too. Not as bad, but...
No, not as bad, no.
He's got some funny stuff on his face.
Shiva Prime says they kind of look like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Well, with Ratchet, it looks like the light might be kind of reflecting kind of weird.
Yeah, and the silver.
So it looks
like
he has strange dimples.
Yeah.
But I really like the proportion of the head and the arms. I mean, they really look kind of cool. It does make their legs look extra kind of funky, though, because everything else looks so much better. But, like, I have those head kits that came out a few years ago where it was just the head that stuck on.
Yeah.
And I think I paid $20 or more for those, and this is a lot more substantial.
You know what I just realized? I was looking at the pics of the instructions. There's a battery and a light-up eye feature in these as well.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I feel bad making fun of the Ratchet head now, because if the eyes light up, I'll totally forget about his mouth.
How can you ever forget that mouth?
Blue LEDs.
Mouth. Supple lips.
Are either of you guys going to be getting these?
No.
I think I may.
I'm tempted by the Ratchet one, because I've had a Ratchet since I was, like, an infant, and, I never got an upgrade kit for him. He's really beat up, and this one has a blue LED.
Okay, I've actually never bought any third-party upgrade kits or third-party figures at all. Ooh. So, yeah, I don't... I take that back. I bought some of the Unicron stuff that they were offering at one of the BotCons, that Key to Vector Sigma. Bought that, but... Yeah, I don't know. This one's not doing it for me.
Okay, you guys got that link?
I did. I'm going to look at it right now. He sent us a picture of the... Yeah, that... Okay.
Oh,
that,
yep.
I see it. I see it right now. Hello, chapter picture. Yeah, that's kind of uncanny. The lip shape is right there. Those things are pretty cool. I mean, and I've never heard of this company before. This is definitely a safe way to start off as a third party company, because you know what a lot of people don't like? They don't like how their G1 Ratchet and Ironhide look. You know what a lot of people would like to fix? The way that those things look. It's a very safe entry point. Dan, what is your new picture pick?
Well, the funny thing about that is I just got done talking about how I don't really buy any third party stuff, and mine is third party as well.
Oh!
I got some third party for you right over here. I'm going with the Perfect Effect PE11 camera set. We got some colored 3D mock-ups earlier this week, and I mean, when we first saw the original pictures of this that were uncolored, just the prototype pictures, I was floored, because Reflector's always been one of the coveted Transformers for me back when I was a kid, and I could never get my mom to just, like, mail away for him for me. And as I got older, harder to find, then eBay came around, and when eBay first came around, I was having trouble finding him on there, and then when I did, it was, like, astronomical prices. I finally got a Reflector. He's got some loose joints, so I have to leave him sitting in camera mode, because the two guys on the end don't remember which one's Spyglass, which one's you know, the other guys.
Yeah, they're all kind of Reflector.
Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, it's one thing, it's Reflector. But yeah, so this looks like an amazing homage to Reflector. I mean, this kit has everything and more. You know, the actual separate camera components in their robot modes look fantastic. And they have all these different, like, accessories that they could use that, you know, make up, like, parts of, like, the tripod and the spyglass and all this other stuff and the flash. And yeah, I just think that looks great. I never bought any third party stuff like this before. This, I think, is definitely going to be my first third party purchase. The only thing I'm a little worried about with this is that it looks like it might be kind of small.
Yeah, actually, I gushed the hell about this thing last week, which is not up at the time of this recording. But I was staring at it for a while, and they look like they're a little bit taller than the usual Perfect Effect robots, but only a little bit taller and slightly wider. And so they are going to be pretty small. Perfect Effect's MO is to design something that is really small, but is engineered like something that's bigger than it is. Mm-hmm. So you get a really small robot, but the engineering on it is tight, like really precise. It's a very Japanese style, of basically like taking big engineering and downsizing it. So it's like scout size engineering in a Mini-Con kind of thing. Only these guys look like they'll be taller than a Mini-Con.
Spectro and Viewfinder. Thank that.
Boom.
Those are the others. I came correct with it at the end. And yeah, I believe Viewfinder was the middle one, if I remember correctly. Yes.
Spectro had the cooler name.
I had to correct myself there because I felt really bad about that.
It's all right. It's all right. How do you feel about the tripod turning into a Gatling gun?
Oh, that's I mean,
friggin' awesome.
Everything is incredible about this, and I'm hoping that we'll get like a repaint of this as well, you know, because these look kind of... well, let me see. Yeah, I mean, these look kind of like cartoon accurate colors, like with the three robots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the camera mode is obviously a lot more purpley than the original G1 toy molds. So yeah, I would like to see them do a repaint in G1 colors as well. I think would be pretty sweet.
Could be cool.
I mean, well, I guess I said that wrong because this is G1 colors. G1 toy colors. There you go.
The minutiae grow and grow.
Yeah, it's like they're both G1, but, you know, different. Yeah.
Well, actually, thanks to Proto Man, he pointed out something cool. A little throwback to the G1 toy colors is that the two side guys, one of them has red wrists, the other one has blue.
And one of them has
wrists,
blue. Yeah.
That's kind of neat. But I'm jazzed for this. I love Perfect Effect style. But as I said before on other shows, their stuff is small, and that won't work for everybody. But that is also their modus operandi. That's how they go about their business. So it's a very particular aesthetic they go for, but they do it quite well in my experience with them.
Hey, if you make a reflector, I'm going to buy it.
There is that too. And I've been telling people, yeah, like, hey, guess what? There's a reflector repaint of Perceptor coming out. Get this thing. You got three little reflectors, and then you got, like, the master reflector who turns into a half track.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Like, master
mold. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to pick this up, too. I mean, the camera mode looks fantastic.
It's great.
I don't know what happened. I remember one being around when I was a kid. I don't think it was like an official Transformer reflector. It might have been like a knockoff or a pre-Transformer version or something. Was that a licensed mold? Like Shockwave?
Yeah, it was like a Microx, right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
It might have been like one of those original ones. Because my parents both worked in a camera store at the time. So there was a lot of like camera-centric stuff around. And I remember my mom had it, and it was like, this is a fun camera thing. And my brother and I were allowed to play with it a little bit, and then I never saw it again. So maybe it's like in a box somewhere, forgotten, buried in the garage for decades. Who knows? But
Ron Friedman's garage.
But yeah.
at this last BotCon, one of the tables, they had a bunch of reflectors, and they were like kind of really far away from, so you couldn't see them close up.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I asked one of the guys behind the table about it, and I thought he had said they were knockoffs, and quoted a price. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, it's kind of expensive, but if they're in good shape and they're good quality, it might be worth it. And then I bump into a Foster, and Foster's like pretty smart about prices and what things are worth and conditions and what to look for. And I kind of talked to him about it. He's like, well, you know, if they're good quality, that's a decent price. Well, let's go check it out, and walk back over with him. And now that guy that I talked to before was gone, and like the head guy was there. He goes, no, these are real.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, well, if they're that price, you know, that might be worth it. And then it turned out that wasn't even the price. Like, the cheapest one they wanted like $160 for or something like that. And they all had like loose legs and chipped paint, and it, none of them were in the condition that I would have wanted to spend that kind of money for.
Yeah.
And Foster was just like, yeah, he said, don't, no, not these, no, no, these, this isn't worth it. I'm like, yeah, no, no. But,
yeah, the Spectro and Spyglass, those ones tend to get the loose legs. So when you have them in camera mode and you pick them up, you know, the two ends of the camera flop down.
Yeah.
The illusion is broken somewhat.
Yeah.
I got a reflector that BotCon in part. I forgot. I know Foster was involved when I got it because I was relying on him and Proto Man a whole lot. I was going like, hey, does this look like a good deal, you guys? I think I paid $100 for it.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember. It was $100 or $150, but I do remember that almost everything was tight on it, and that was the main thing that got me to cave on the thing because it wasn't flopping around.
If I remember right, that you got that from a different dealer than the one I was looking at.
I remember the dealer you were looking at. Because I'm really sure I was like standing behind you guys, like 5 feet away when you were having that conversation.
Oh, but, that's kind of creepy, guy.
I know, because I was like, I'm gonna follow Seth and Foster around.
I think you guys were having like a battle with that ultimate Cheetor right there at that time.
Something like, yeah. It was in that area where I got that Cheetor.
Yeah.
Your Bodhar's table.
Oh, this was like day one in the dealer room that Foster and I went, looked at that stuff.
I might be thinking of something else, because I know a lot of people did go by. There were a couple G1 loaded tables that were having a lot of discussions, because G1 toys were kind of expensive last BotCon.
Yeah.
Let's
change that for next BotCon, guys. Come on.
Yep.
Make it cheaper.
Not that Sky Gary wasn't.
No, the Sky Gary.
Don't even talk to me about Sky Gary.
Sky Gary, he's the guy in the sky. Gary,
he's got to get to those.
He's a awesome toy. Sky
Gary, got to get to those Japanese folks.
Yeah, I don't know any Japanese.
And then crawl under their table and go like, "Hey, can I get this?"
They'd be like, "What are you doing under my table?"
I'm looking for Sky Garys. That's all I'm looking for.
And then you put their hand in your mouth and just go, hmm.
Okay, take it, Jesus.
That Superman's a creep.
I'm going to bring up, hey, guess what I'm going to bring up? Some third-party stuff, because this has been third-party week. I mean, it's been a good week for announcements on this stuff.
I can't stop looking at Devo pictures, so you just go right ahead.
All right. First up, I really want to bring up Mastermind Creations announcing on their Facebook page that not only are they responsible for that Hearts of Steel, I forgot which Insecticon it was, but a shrapnel, Hearts of Steel shrapnel. They showed a poster with silhouettes and said it was theirs of the Hearts of Steel designed Insecticons combining into a train and the Shockwave design from Hearts of Steel. So they're apparently working on both of those things. And as I said in the thread, if this came up before the Annihilator came out, the black version of their train prime, I would have been saying, that's neat, but I'm kind of worried because the Nightmorpher Commander was a little bit sketchy. But having messed with the Nightmorpher Annihilator, I am really excited about these. If these are of the same quality as the black version of their Hearts of Steel Prime, these could be really good. The main thing is if they are of that quality, because that's the quality these guys need to maintain. But
so I must have been out of things for a while. What made the black one of better quality than the original Hearts of Steel Prime? Just out of curiosity.
Basically, the first Hearts of Steel Prime had a lot of little problems with its plastic. Like, it was a good design, but like there were a lot of joints that would get loose really easy, or there were joints that would be like frighteningly tight. There was the head was held on with a rivet, so it could only look left or right. It was really easy to break a couple little clips in the chest. The hands pegged on with a weird like inverse teeth system that would usually just break when you stored them underneath the trailer. So it was a good toy with a lot of construction problems. And last BotCon, that was on display for everybody to see because TF Source had like a stack of heavily discounted ones with post-it notes on them detailing all the various problems with those particular copies of the toy. So they, you know, fast forward a couple months, they release a black version with a sword, and I got a hold of one to do a review for, and everything was fixed. absolutely everything. All the joints were smooth. They were tight, but not too tight. Nothing felt like it was going to break. The hands were a simple peg system. The head's on a ball joint now. Just the plastic felt like a better quality ABS plastic. And they even mentioned on their blog that originally, apparently it wasn't ABS. It was some other kind of plastic. So they really stepped up their game, and even though it was just like a black repaint of the first one, construction wise, it was a full physical upgrade, and I was really impressed with it.
So you're saying that I should go watch one of your reviews on this?
Maybe.
Yeah. All right.
Could be. So basically, they're doing the Shockwave, who turns into like a steamboat, armored steamboat thing. And they're doing the three Insecticons who combine into an insectoid locomotive, which blows my mind, and I love it. Because I'd forgotten about that design from Hearts of Steel, so I'm utterly jazzed for these. Dan, you haven't dipped into third party that often. Reflectors got you going. What about Hearts of Steel? Does that interest you at all?
Well, to be honest, I was initially interested in that Hearts of Steel Prime, or whatever it's called, Night Morpher, when we saw it at BotCon, and somebody had bought it. I don't remember. Somebody in our immediate... Who?
I bought one.
Okay, maybe it was yours then. But somebody was playing with it in the room, and I was just like, I'm not feeling this. Something feels off about that. Seeing the Insecticon triple train thing, that looks really, really cool. And so I was kind of bummed out because I still had this stigma attached to it that these were crap because of what I seen from the Hearts of Steel Prime that we saw at BotCon. But knowing that they fixed a lot of those issues with that Night Morpher, what's the black one called?
The Annihilator.
Annihilator, thank you. The Night Morpher Annihilator. I'm interested now, definitely. I'll have to check out this awesome review by Vanjuanus.
My only worry is like, Annihilator was a full physical upgrade, but it was also the second version of the figure. And I want to believe that they can maintain that quality, but the risk is there that, you know, these are all brand new designs they'd be putting out. And I would hate to see it if these go through the same learning curve that the Commander went through, where the first version comes out, it's totally janked up, and then they fix it, because they know how to fix it, but I really hope that they build one, they look at it, they figure out what doesn't work, fix it, and then release it. Because they cannot afford to have another bum figure come out right now. A lot of people don't even know about the Annihilator and are still just looking at them with a squinty eye. Seth, how do you feel about trains? I'm curious if they attract you.
I like trains.
You like trains?
Yeah, my dad is super into trains. Like, that's a big hobby for him. Model railroading and whatnot. So, there's an attraction. Like, half the reason I got Night Morpher Commander was so I could go, look, train!
Train!
You just point to go, train!
I go, look, it's train, right? That makes it cool, right? It doesn't look like a real train.
Oh,
I can never do anything good enough.
You know, on YouTube, in the Annihilator video, I went all like, and this thing is a black locomotive, which is much more realistic than a red and blue one. And I got like three replies of people going like, did you know they made red and blue locomotives? And I was like, oh. So apparently an Optimus Prime locomotive is actually realistic, according to a whole bunch of people.
They made locomotives in a wide plethora of colors.
I did not know that. I only ever watched Back to the Future 3.
Ignorance is not an excuse.
Ouch.
I'm going to wait two hours and storm off the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. I'll wait.
Fingers steepled.
No, but these trains look cool. I mean, these are cool looking trains, even if they're not like modeled on actual real-life locomotives. They're cool, stylized steam engines. And those are more interesting than diesel engines. That's for damn sure.
Shockwave might be a boat, too, if he's based on the concept art.
Boats are garbage.
Oh!
I don't trust boats. Boats are up to something.
Don't
They're
hate.
Shifty. Boats are dangerous.
Yeah, some of our listeners are boats.
Yeah. Jerk.
Well, I don't trust them.
I don't want them listening anymore.
If you're a boat, turn off your MP3 player now. And sync.
So Mastermind, my fingers are crossed for you guys. I don't even think you listen to this, but my fingers are crossed for you guys. Please do it right. You are a good company. You don't mess this one up. This will cement you if you do this right as something that people look at and say, those guys did damn cool trains. So I believe in you guys, but I still worry a little. I want to bring up one more third party thing just because I have been flippantly into these things for no good reason, and now all of a sudden we have prices, colored versions, and a release date. TF Club's Target Troids. Optimus Prime, Megatron, Hot Rod, and Starscream, who are Target Masters. They're being sold in two packs for something like 30-ish per two pack. And I love them. I really want them because you can have Optimus wielding Optimus. You can have Megatron wielding Megatron. Starscream has Starscream as a gun. Hot Rod has a little Hot Rod as a gun. There's something beautiful about that. It makes no sense. Everyone who says they don't like it because it makes no sense, you're all absolutely right. It makes no sense. But that's why I love it. I think these are like definite BotCon purchases for me. Like, if I see them at BotCon, I'm going to cave in like 2 seconds. Did any of you guys feel any attraction to these, or are you just seeing the silliness of it?
Hey, if I didn't like things that made no sense, then I would not own a Skylynx. So,
what is up with all the Skylynx talk I saw halfways on Twitter the other day?
I don't know.
There were a whole bunch of people talking about Skylynx. I was like, what's up?
People are just mad because Skylynx is awesome?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know how it started. I know our homeboy Derek Wyatt weighed in at some point, didn't he? Today, maybe?
I saw him say something about, like, okay, so apparently Transformers fans like Skylynx. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I assumed it was a form spring kind of thing.
Or he said they didn't like him, and then a bunch of people said, what are you talking about? We love him. And then he was like, okay, good.
I don't know.
I think he was upset that people were hating.
I am indifferent to Skylynx. I have nothing against him. I don't invite him to parties, but if he showed up at one, I wouldn't chase him off.
He's bananas. Do you have one?
I do. I've had one since I was a kid.
Okay, well, then why do I even have to explain it to you?
You don't. I'm just saying. You know, I am a neutral on the Skylynx issue. I would play chess with Skylynx.
Good. You see, the toy is crazy. And then the cartoon made him crazier with the voice that they gave him.
Yes. Oh, that was amazing.
And it's a space shuttle that turns into a weird pterodactyl bird.
And a lion.
With a box that attaches to the bottom that turns into a lion with two tails.
And he's very, very arrogant and sure of himself.
And British.
Yeah, he's amazing.
It's so weird. And that's why you get the Skylynx, because it's just so weird.
And what if you had a little Skylynx who turned into a gun for Skylynx?
Oh,
then you get
Skylynx,
that.
Skylynx action. It's a double Skylynx.
I do want to also throw out there, somebody made a comment about the Megatron Targetroid. Apparently his design, right down to the gun mode he has, is heavily based on a War Within character who was going to assassinate Optimus Prime. And I forgot that character existed until someone mentioned that, and then all of a sudden I remembered a panel he was in.
I gotta go back and read War Within again.
There was a character who turned into a gun who was going to assassinate somebody, I think Optimus Prime, and apparently that's what this Targetroid Megatron looks exactly like in gun mode.
I was going to say that out of all of these, I think the Megatron one definitely looks the coolest in robot mode.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gun mode too. I'm not too crazy about the Starscream gun mode. The Hot Rod one looks really weird. Or I guess we're calling Rodimus now. The Rodimus one looks really weird too. I'd have to say the Megatron one's the best looking out of all of them.
I just love the concept. It's so crazy. Like someone sitting there thinking, going, like, Optimus Prime should have been a Target Master. Yes!
I'm still thinking of the gun assassin. How I wish it was named Oswaldtron or something.
So. Maybe he was. I don't know. I don't remember the issue very well, but I just wanted to point this out because, you know, this is something that could fly under somebody's radar, and I want to make sure that you all know that you can buy your own tiny little dudes who turn into guns for the bigger versions of themselves, and I, for one, really want them.
Angelus just wants you to know to aim your radar lower.
That's right. Right down, right here. Yeah. Right on that spot.
Gun assassins are flying
through. Oh, my.
Yeah. Anyway, next topic. This is a good one. Okay. So, I am half Chinese, so I am allowed to say yes.
Lies.
Are you about to get racist here?
Listen up, sucker. I'm Chinatown OG, KFC original recipe. All right. Let's not start any of this up.
Crazy motherfucker.
I fight to riv and riv to fight. All right. Anyway, the Chevrolet Spark is having a big new ad campaign in the People's Republic of China. The ad campaign is called Spark Myself. Bearing that in mind, okay, that slogan is being carried by none other than the twins, Skids and Mudflap. So go spark yourself.
Shit. Oh, no.
That's right. Aimed at China.
I didn't think of it like that, but as soon as you did it in the voice, now it's, oh boy.
I'm going to go spark myself.
Wouldn't it be like slag myself or something like
nah,
that?
Nah, son. That's what all the squares say. I'm going to go spark myself.
Well, at least Tom Kenny's getting work.
I have no idea if they have any kind of voices in this. Like, there's a mocked up Skids.
I bet they do.
And if you click on the picture of the Skids mock up robot they did, and that looks nothing like Skids. And some people were like, "Is that a new movie design?" And a lot of people said, "No, that's probably just a car they cut up to look like a robot." And I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that pretty much looks exactly like what it is.
But
well, it's China. It's a knockoff Skid. So
this campaign aimed at China's youth market is a multifaceted one created by Chevy, utilizing various things from graffiti, urban dance, music, light shows, online elements, TV commercials, and even an endorsement deal with the upcoming movie Transformers: Dark of the Moon. The new model of the Spark officially launched in mainland last week at the 2010 Guangzhou Auto Show. You remember? Also, yeah. Do you remember? Thank you, Nibbum Ratchet. Sorry, New In Box Mint Ratchet, who says, "Remember the trademark has refiled not too long ago. Spark your summer. Maybe that'll tie into it." Yo, I'm gonna go spark myself. Why don't you go spark your summer?
It's pretty good.
Also, I just want to say that these images and info came courtesy of ChinaSmack.com. That's the best website name ever.
China Smack.
Yo, I'm gonna log in to ChinaSmack.com while I spark myself.
Yo, man, what you need? What you need? I got some China Smack. I got some Maui Wowie.
Anyway, I'm happy to see the twins getting their dues over in my homeland. One of my homelands.
Yo, man, I got busted with about 3 kilos of China Smack.
Oh, I forgot about this picture. Sorry, hang on. I got to show you guys this one. This is on the bottom of the article. Just look at this picture with that logo and the dude standing behind it. All ready to go.
He's ready to spark himself.
And then the little one on the top of the spark.
Nice.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think that this is a great utilization of the twins as a role model for China's youth?
I'm a little confused, and maybe I'm just quite removed from the age group this is speaking to, but I don't understand the concept of a car manufacturer marketing to children.
Because kids drive cars all the time when they steal
like,
them.
How much of a of an influence on the purchasing decision of a vehicle do the children in the household have?
Well, they walk up to their parents and go like, "Hey, Mom, you better go buy that new Chevrolet Spark or I'm going to Spark myself."
And like, "Oh my, I have to buy that."
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's odd.
I mean,
to me, but
they say they're marketing to the youth, but is it the children or the youth, as in like teenagers, like young drivers?
How many teenagers are out there buying brand new cars?
Well,
world's a different
especially
place.
Especially in China,
yeah, China blowing up these days. I don't know if you've heard, but they kind of own our business. They got some monies.
I don't know.
I don't want to get too geopolitical in here, but China's got some stuff going on.
Y'all getting geopolitical. I'm just going back and spark myself. Excuse me.
I was more commenting on to the whole overcrowdedness of China, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, it's crowded with cars now.
Crowded with Chevy Sparks, in fact.
Well, I saw a deal a little while ago about American companies doing business in China, and American car companies are cleaning up. They love American cars, Chevrolet and Ford. They're wiping the floor with that place.
Oof.
And they were at a GM dealer in China, and they talked to some people who came looking to buy a car, and like this dude came from like 100 something miles away from some little remote village, and he was coming to buy a GM car, and they asked him like why this kind of car specifically, and he goes, "Well, look, those are the only kind of cars you see, so they have to be the best ones, right? Because that's the one everybody has." So GM rules China in the auto field. Most popular American fast food company in China, apparently,
GM?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Also GM Chicken.
Also GM.
So my question is, the article says the twins are involved in this. I'm not seeing Mudflap anywhere. What happened?
I'm not even really seeing Skids.
It's green.
I mean, unless something seriously happens to Skids where he gets changed into that thing. I'm just confused by this entire thing.
That's why I had to bring it up. It's the most bewildering story of the week.
The real car that they're using has a hideous paint job as well. Like, everything about this is wrong.
No, man, that car is just all about spark. You don't you got no spark? Aren't you going to spark yourself up a little bit?
Maybe I need to understand what the hell is going on in China.
Go spark up a spliff. You'll know what's up with all this.
A spliff?
Yeah.
Yes, I will spark up a spliff.
That's next. Hey, that's the campaign for the summer. Spliff yourself. In your spark.
I think everyone should just be happy that this is all above board and GM's actually involved and the Transformer brand is actually involved.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, did you see the story recently about that Bandai suing some Chinese theme park because they erected a gigantic Gundam?
Yeah, because
and then they were like, that ain't a Gundam.
Because Japan
looks exactly like a Gundam. No,
Japan built a giant. No. They built a giant RX-78, and it became basically like a national attraction in Japan. So China built a big orange thing that kind of looks like a Gundam.
It looks a lot like a Gundam.
Yeah, a lot like it. It's orange.
It has Gundam-ass feet. It has Gundam-ass knees. It has a Gundam-ass head and shoulders. It has a Gundam.
Gundam-ass toes. What up?
It is an ugly paint job Gundam.
Yeah,
And for them to be like, this has nothing to know. We made this up ourselves.
The thing is, like, everything about it that doesn't look Gundam China makes it look more like it's trying to be Gundam.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everything it gets wrong makes it look like it was trying really hard to get it right, and that's what made it so funny to me.
It's like, come on, Sean.
He's got to spray it. Common Rider.
Come on.
He's got to spray it green and then go like, "No, you see he's the Spark himself robot from our Spark campaign."
I would just like to see China keep doing that. Like, just keep building things that are obviously something else and then denying it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's not supposed to be the Statue of Liberty. This is blue. What are you talking about?
She's holding a spatula. I don't know what you're seeing.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Statue of Cookery.
The crown, those spikes are curved. The Statue of Liberty, those are straight. So it's totally different. There's nothing to do with that.
This one has a heart condition. You can't see it, but it's there. Yours is all fine and dandy.
It's like, what are you talking about? Our tower leans the other way from the Pisa one. This has nothing to do with the Pisa tower.
This one's leaning forward. The Pisa tower leans backwards. Duh.
Kind of to the left a little bit. This has nothing. Ours is fluorescent orange, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Las Vegas? No, these are all pachinko parlors. I don't know what you're saying. Let's move along. Let's briefly intermiss before we talk about what we got this week. Right now!
Buckingham Palace? What are you talking about? This is... It's the Washu Memorial Deli.
Washu. I'm going to stick an intermission in here. Does anybody need to use the washroom? Chinatown a hustler. Live and die like a Chinatown a hustler. Bonafide, crazy mother sucker. In the town that's the mother to the hustler. Chinatown a hustler. Live and die like a Chinatown a hustler. Bonafide, crazy mother sucker. In the town that's the mother to the hustler. Life is a struggle, my son. Got to bring a hustle and run. Living in the ghetto, no fun. Got to hustle in the midnight sun. Life is a struggle, my son. Got to bring a hustle and run. Living in the ghetto, no fun. Got to hustle in the midnight sun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fight to real, live to fight. Got to break some balls when the money's right. Doing my thing just to get the meal. Yeah. With 45 a pound, I'm a Chinatown steer. Keep it real. In the flesh, I'm a killer. Packing more heat than a Godzilla. What the deal with the 5-0? Who knows? I see more talent in the gong show. Got a better chance in the casino than reading in the Chinese or ghetto.
Chinatown a hustler. Live and die like a Chinatown a hustler. Bonafide, crazy mother sucker. In the town that's the mother to the hustler. Chinatown a hustler. Live and die like a Chinatown a hustler. Bonafide, crazy mother sucker. In the town that's the mother to the hustler. Chinatown a hustler. Live and die like a Chinatown a hustler. Bonafide, crazy mother sucker. In the town that's the mother to the hustler.
So I saw very briefly a clip of Boogie Boy. That was terrifying.
You should watch the video for Red Eye Express sometime.
Man.
It's good.
It's lips. We're going to talk about what we got this week. Or in Dan's case, whatever he got of late. Although... It kind of times up nicely because you were taking quite a break. And then I remember seeing on Twitter, you were like, hey, I got some stuff. And I was like, that looks like a fun haul to open over the course of several weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dan, I want to hear from you first. What did you get?
Oh, well, yeah, as you said, I took quite a break from everything when my daughter showed up. And so I played a little bit of catching up the last couple of weeks. I wanted to squeeze in some purchases before the end of the year. Plus, I had to kind of compile my list of my top Transformers for the year that we do every year on TFW. So I'll just start going through stuff. There's stuff I haven't opened yet, and actually that's mostly non-Transformer stuff, so that's off topic. So I'll just say I picked up a few of the G.I. Joe figures. I got that crimson-looking Cobra Commander now. I guess they don't really call him Crimson Cobra Commander, but he's got the red chest plate on, and he comes on a different red Cobra card. The G.I. Joe figures have been very hard to come by in my area. So even though I was not buying toys the last couple months, I would still always look every time we'd be in Toys R Us shopping for baby stuff or at Target. And never have new Joes hanging on the pegs. And finally, when I decided to start buying toys again, I found him. Got myself an Alley Viper, who's always a favorite of mine. Except this one doesn't have the nice bright orange and blue paint job as the 80s. It's got some maroon and black and gray. So he's definitely more subtle, but he comes with a crap ton of accessories. So that is amazing.
Yeah, I got that Alley Viper too. And at first I was excited for a kind of a more realistically colored Alley Viper. But I think I gotta agree. I like my orange and blue one.
Oh yeah, that one's so over the top. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And lastly, I found a Cobra Shock Trooper, which was quite surprising, actually. I think that is all the off-topic stuff.
Actually, I only recall this because I was watching the Twitter conversation from 5 feet behind you, but. I saw you having a conversation. I think it was a Hiss Tank or something. You were hoping to get it in black, and they pack it in multiple colors, and you don't know which one you got till you bought it.
Yes. Yeah, so I had bought a Hiss Tank a long time ago. In fact, I think it was on one of our What Do We Got This Week's on from the past that I was guesting on.
Ooh.
And I just opened it now. I tend to do that too. If anybody follows me on Twitter, you might have seen a couple months back. I took a picture of my closet down in the basement. It's just full of box toys because for the longest time I was a mint and seal box collector, mint on seal card collector. I of course had some things open, but it was probably about 50-50 in my collection. And I have a lot of great pieces that are still sealed in boxes, but I'm slowly kind of going through everything. And so I took some pictures. I'm like, hey, I'm going to start opening some of this stuff. Everyone's like, oh my God, that's crazy. Look at all that stuff. I can't believe you've left it sealed this long.
And like, yeah, I was kind of busy. I had a kid. And
yeah. Well, it's been sealed for, like, some of this stuff has been sealed for years. So, like when I first joined TFW, like back in like 2000, back when we were Trans Fandom and all that other stuff, I started collecting back then when I first started branching out. And so, yeah, some of those pieces are from like the RID days. Like that's how old some of this stuff is. Ooh. So on Christmas, I decided, you know, I didn't get any toys for Christmas, so I'm going to bring some toys upstairs and start opening them. So brought up some of my G1s that I picked up, some of the Encore releases I picked up at BotCon this year, and I brought up that Cobra Hiss Tank. And I opened it up. I'm like, oh, it's brown. That's weird. I wasn't expecting that. So I hopped on his tank, and I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, there's a black one, but it's a different assortment. So apparently, from what I understand, that's a running change. So if you have a his tank that's packaged with a specific vehicle, I don't remember the vehicle off the top of my head. I'm sure somebody can comment about it in the thread. But then you pretty much have the black one. And I think there's also another way to check. Somebody on Twitter said there's a specific number on the side of the box. But that wasn't actually a recent get. That was more of me opening up stuff I've had sitting here forever.
And I loved when you said that on Twitter, that you were like, I'm going to pull up some toys from the room and just pop them open for Christmas. I was like, that is awesome. Like,
yeah, it was great.
Christmas, I'm going to pull from the room, the sealed room.
Yeah, the one of my favorite ones was opening up the Alternators Rodimus, because that was, you know, kind of like one of the rarer pieces from the Alternators days. And I was like, the old me would never open this. He'd want to leave this sealed up in a safe somewhere. And I just tore it open. I'm like, yay,
if it helps, like, nobody can sell that thing anymore. The aftermarket on it, as far as I know, really dried up.
See, I don't even pay attention to that stuff.
I only know that because I managed to sell mine for like $80. And I was kind of like, I wonder if I undersold it. And then after a few months, I saw people kind of struggling to sell it for $50. So I was like, I made out okay.
I mean, I was one of the fortunate ones that was actually able to get it from Hasbro Toy Shop when they listed it. So, you know, I paid whatever it was, $25-$30 for it when it came out. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is about that, because this happens to me all the time, not opening something up, opening it up later and it's broken. So one of his doors was busted and I actually had to super glue it back together. Yeah. Yeah, that happened with me when I was opening up all my titaniums one day. I had bought them all, and I was like, oh, these are the greatest thing. And like 2 years later, I opened them all up. I say, these are all terrible. Why did I buy all these? They're all loose joints, and they don't stand right. And but anyway, I'm going on too much of a tangent here. So back to what I actually got. So I started picking up Generations toys that I was missing. I got myself Skullgrin, Straxus, Darkmount, Thunderwing, Soundwave, Megatron from War for Cybertron, and I got the Battle in Space box set with Rodimus and Cyclonus.
Yes.
And that one I actually just opened as we were doing the introductory stuff for the show.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I'm actually pretty pleased with everything for the most part. Thunderwing is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of small, like everybody was saying, but you can have a lot of fun with them. Straxus and Skullgrin are, you know, pretty straightforward. I think I like the mold better for Straxus than I do for Skullgrin. I'm still kind of curious as to why they chose Skullgrin for that mold, but, you know, it's a neat repaint, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Soundwave is awesome as always. This Megatron is probably one of my favorites, which really took me by surprise, but I don't want to dwell on this stuff too much because I'm sure it's been covered and covered and covered again in the weeks.
It's actually a lot of interesting perspectives because I've been finding a lot, like I say general public, I mean the people's whose Twitters and posts I read, but
mm-hmm.
I've been hearing a lot of people have said they like Skullgrin more than Darkmount on that mold, and the Megatron, he was real divisive, if I recall correctly, because it's kind of like a lot of people who went in expecting him to be hyper complex kind of came out pretty disappointed. And then a lot of people who went in expecting not to like him because he's going to be hyper complex came out really happy with him.
Think I'm part of that latter group of people on that one.
Yeah, because like he's not over complex. He's pretty simple, but he's like solid in what he does, and it goes pretty far.
Yeah, it's a really nice looking mold. And him and Soundwave really took me by surprise because I actually was not going to get these based off of the earlier War for Cybertron toys that I bought, the Prime and the Bumblebee, because, yeah, they look pretty good in robot mode, but they were just a nightmare to transform. But, yeah, I really, really like how those came out. And as far as Skullgrin being the better out of Skullgrin and Straxus, I mean, I even took I don't know if you saw that picture, but I took a picture of Skullgrin next to Skullgrin and put it on Twitter. And yeah, I mean, I'm Skullgrin standing next to G1 Skullgrin. I'm picking G1 Skullgrin. This is the first Straxus, you know, that we've ever gotten. So I got to go with Straxus over Skullgrin for those two.
Yeah, having had both, I've really found like I actually can't pick. They both do stuff so well in different ways. I find like Skullgrin's color palette is amazing, and Straxus just rocks that body shape so well.
And I love the axe that they both. I mean, it's obviously the same weapon for both of them, but I love that axe because it's different to pose him around than you would like most Transformers that have, you know, guns and stuff like that, or even like the occasional sword. I mean, this guy's got an axe. It's so cool.
Yeah,
the pickaxe or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I love how I have Straxus right here on my desk, and I just love how he looks. And the box set.
when I was starting off back there, when you said that you're generally pleased with it, I thought you meant the box set, and I was about to say, well, that's pretty good to hear, because a lot of people have been ragging on parts of that. Okay, a lot of people have been ragging on Rodimus in that box set.
Yeah, which is really, really sad, because, I mean, this has all the potential for an amazing set, but I don't know, something falls short. And I got to say that, as weird as it sounds, probably the best part of the box set is Nightstick, to be honest. I mean, Cyclonus is pretty sweet. I dig the color scheme. It's pretty solid. But Nightstick is actually really nice. And Rodimus, a little disappointing.
Yeah, a lot of people have said their Rodimuses feel like the worst I've heard is literally people saying this feels like a Big Lots knockoff Rodimus.
I can see that.
And I think, like, I don't have one in hand, so this is all hypothetical conjecture, whatnot, but I do know that on that toy, from what I could see, all his clear plastic was replaced with solid opaque plastic, And I'm wondering if that just totally jacked with all the plastic tolerances that were built into it in the design phase. Like, it was designed to have clear plastic in some parts, and somehow that just got messed up. I don't know. Because there's no way it has mold degradation. That thing hasn't been used in years.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's bizarre. And the rub signs, I mean, we talked about this in pre-show, but the rub signs are, you know, it's totally different than the original rub signs we had when we were kids. And, like, I really have to rub this thing for a while before I'm still rubbing it, and it's still not showing up. So
I'm sorry to break this to you, but your body temperature has actually sunk below absolute zero.
Yeah, I'm a vampire.
Your finger's actually about to snap off.
Yeah, I mean, I the old ones, I used to just hold my finger over it for like 3 seconds, and you'd see the faction symbol. But this one, yeah, you really have to just kind of put some force behind it, a little bit of elbow grease on there to get that thing to pop up. And even then, it's still temperamental. And I dig the fact that it came with its own little comic. I think that's pretty sweet, and I would love to see that trend continue. I haven't read it yet because, as I said, I was opening this as we started the show, so I can't comment on the story. But the art is not really – I'm not really feeling that either. It's just that's the art – style doesn't appeal to me.
That's putting it a little bit nicer than a lot of other people have put it. and it's a shame because a lot of people have said they're so happy Boo was working on the comic. They're so happy Josh Burcham was doing the colors. They're so happy Furman's writing it. It's three really good dudes. But I haven't read the comic. This is going off what other people said. But what I've collected is the information that the comic feels rushed in every way. It feels like they assembled this great team and then gave them like half a day to put the comic together.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
It's a shame because, and like a lot of people have said, they're like, if I recall, just off the top of my head, General Techno on Twitter was like, I love Josh Burcham. I'm glad he's got work, but I'm not digging his colors in this issue. And I was like, man, like, you know, that's a good team they assembled. So I was really surprised to hear the comic was falling short for a lot of people. I'll see when I get it, but or if I get it, because I don't even know what's out.
It's still a decent set. I mean, I think it's like $20 for this whole thing. And like, you know, if you're somebody who never got the Classics Rodimus mold, I mean, I guess there's some value in it there. I just got to say that this is one of those pieces that look better sealed in the box. Yeah, as sad as that may sound, but hey, there's a sweet nightstick in there. There you go.
I love nightstick. Target Masters. So was that kind of the crown jewel of what you've opened?
Only not of the new. Well, I mean, I have a crown jewel of something I opened that's completely off topic, but yeah, as far as Transformers goes, of the new stuff I purchased, yeah, that's everything.
All right. Well, I hope aside from that Battle in Space thing, I'm glad it's all going pretty well. Generations is a great line to jump back on with.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty solid. Seth!
Hey, what's up?
I want to know what... Sorry, I was over in the corner peeing on the floor.
Ah, he was spacking himself.
Without spacking myself. What'd you get this week?
Really kind of nothing. I got some stuff, like Christmas stuff. I got stuff for Christmas. You're experiencing it now in a way.
Oh, I think you should share.
I got this microphone and this little kind of portable mixing board deal, and hopefully my audio sounds better than it did before.
Yeah, I mean it sounds great on Skype. It sounds great on Skype.
Does it sound full bodied?
So hopefully it's not what happened with Derek when we had him on the first time, where I totally got him set up and then it was recording with the mic on his monitor. That was embarrassing.
No, I had a little trouble getting it set up to where it didn't record every sound coming through my computer, even the other people on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got it pretty well figured out. Like, and really, there is no other microphone plugged into this computer, so there's not a lot of danger. And I'm recording something because I'm looking at Audacity right now and there's a waveform. So unless it's recording something foreign that just happens to be spiking and making noises as I do, then
1.5 hours of coincidences.
I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty bananas. But just trying something here.
Double rainbow all the way across the sky.
I guess a
double rainbow all the way.
Never mind. I was gonna try something, but what did you hear?
I heard double rainbow all the way across the sky.
Awesome. I wasn't sure if anybody could hear that. Actually, I was using the line in.
I love
so yeah, it supports a couple microphones. It has like the big kind of microphone plug. Has two inputs for that. Has one input for like a line in like mini plug that you would use for like the headphones on an iPod or something. And then has like the red and white kind of audio jacks, like the stereo plugs. For inputs, couple headphone outs, which I can't use in this situation. Otherwise, I get into that realm where it's recording every possible noise
I wish I could be there in person to try to figure out if there's a way around that. But we were trying to figure this out via the boards, and with these sound boards, because my experience is mainly with like the one that I have. It's like I was trying to figure out something, but I was like, every time I tried thinking of something, I was like, that's me thinking in terms of my soundboard and not Seth's. And I was like, I just can't figure it out.
Well, maybe I'll bring it to BotCon. And it's kind of neat because you could jam a 9-volt battery in there and use it without having to plug it in.
That's awesome.
Which is kind of cool.
I really would love that.
Yeah, so maybe we could think of some use for that, like some out-of-room recording or something.
Walk around the floor with one of those big trays hanging off your shoulders, like you guys who sell popcorn, and you got your soundboard on there and everything, and you're like...
I'm here with
WTF at TFW, a man on the street. What are your thoughts on BotCon?
Yeah, say, yeah.
Live at the Zeppelin races. people that listen to the Drunk Tank podcast are like, hey, he's ripping off Bernie right now, and I am. What are you going to do about it?
Spock, you'll spill.
But, yeah, well, so what happens when I plug it in? Like, when I plug in my headset, my Logitech headset, the computer recognizes that. And when I look at my, you know, sound input and output options on my computer, it has the name of the headset there. With this, it just says, like, USB audio device. And I'm guessing the computer doesn't really know what to do with that in a way that works the headset.
That's what mine does. Mine always just shows up as a USB device. But then, like,
okay, yeah, because when I tell the computer, like, for audio out, use the USB device. For sound recording, use the USB device.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I select those two options together, then that's when it records every sound coming through the computer.
That's why it feels like your board is, like, because mine pulls in everything as well, but it puts it out in different tracks, so it's like all the system sounds come out in the headphone jack or something like that, or they're on their own line that isn't in the input line that the mic is in and stuff like that. It's that's why it's like I need to like see it. Like I have to visualize it.
Yeah. So what I ended up having to do is plug headphones in independently, tell the computer, record audio from the USB device, export audio to the headset. So, you know, it's getting the job done.
Yeah,
and really, I mean, it's not like I can't use the headphones. I just don't use them through the board.
Seth jumped on Skype, and I was all like, who am I talking to?
Barry White.
I don't know who this is. I'm getting scared.
Oh, no, that's if I do this. Turn the treble all the way down.
Oh,
turn
God.
The bass all the way up.
Oh, my. It's Seth from inside the whale's stomach.
Alright, that's enough.
Sounds like you pulled your lips out and over your face.
Hey, what are you trying to say about Barry White?
Nothing. I'm just over here.
I didn't think so. Yeah, what else was I going to say about this? I was going to say something else about this, but I forgot what I was going to say about. Yeah, but it's cool. You know, I'm figuring out how to work it, playing with all the little fiddly knobs and whatnot. Yeah, so it's fun. I also got the only Devo studio album that I never owned, which is the Easy Listening album, where they did like elevator music versions of some of their songs. So I finally got that. That's been out of print for years. So that was fun to get.
I dig the concept.
And then to try to get on topic goal, this is something I actually got before Christmas. Something I actually got before episode 127. But when we got to 127, I forgot about it because I was so excited. I was so excited about the diecast Trons. I got Jazz. Jazz.
I want
nobody one. Cares about Jazz. apparently everyone's like, so whatevs. Those speakers are stupid.
Who uses clip systems anymore? White sports cars?
Yeah. Well, what I love about his clip points is you could fold them away and there's not weird bars stuck all over them.
Hey, those bars could have uses. Like, the G.I. Joe team totally said, like, someone asked, what's with all the handlebars on all the G.I. Joe figures? And they were like, those are actually realistic pieces of armor so that they can be dragged off the battlefield if they're unconscious. That's what all the bars are for.
Unconscious? No, but, you know, it's cool that they fold away if you don't want them.
Yeah.
Available at the moment. And the speakers are attached, which are cool. Yeah, his face is maybe a little too Judge Dreddish, as others have pointed out. I mean, but, you know, it's not. It doesn't ruin nothing. And I really like the sculpting on the forearms. It very much invokes what you see a lot of people doing, like, especially in fan art, where they get, like, all these extra kind of... I don't know, it's hard to describe. It reminds me of really good fan art. Like, the people who draw, like, super technical kind of fan art. It kind of reminds me of what I've seen some people do there that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's neat. This is a tiny detail, but it's one that I thought was really cool. Transforming him for the first time. I really like how his gun extends. How it's not just a simple fold over. The way it kind of pulls back onto itself instead of just like flipping in one kind of articulation, the way it has two points and folds back. I just thought was neat compared to how you can more easily have a gun go back.
I'm sure, but it, yeah, it also helps like compact it up to like fit a smaller space too. The more jointage you put on it.
Yeah. It just seems like a little extra amount of movement that I wasn't expecting that I've then given way too much credit for being something. But I like that. The light piping doesn't really seem to work too well on them, but, you know, again, not something that I really worry about. Like, the blue is too dark, or the light's not getting through, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for toys with rub signs to show up in my town, so I stop just hearing about them and I can go out and actually buy some.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Like, you should buy some. Pretty good.
Need me a Jazz, need me a Wind Charger. I'll be set.
Oh, I got a box of See's candy. That was good.
I don't have any candy.
You probably don't even have See's.
I don't know what C's are. Is that a letter?
Oh, they're so good. So good. They're high quality confections. And, they're kind of like a California thing, so you wouldn't know.
I gotta head over to the other continent.
Maybe we'll find you guys some C's when you come for BotCon. We'll get totally sick on
just a bucket
See's candies and In-N-Out burgers.
I am prepped for In-N-Out. Yes. I missed In-N-Out. Yes. I want more In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
That stuff was cash when I had it last time.
It's good as hell. Like,
with the C's, it's like the assortment and everything's chocolate coated, so you don't know what anything is until you bite into it.
Hey, so chicken bones. Like, awesome.
It's like the Russian roulette of chocolate.
Do they stick,
is this going to be a good one, or is this going to be coconut?
Do they stick like crazy gross stuff in there to wig people out who haven't had it before?
Well, I mean, things are only as gross as you think they are. Like,
am I going to get like a pork chop covered in chocolate?
No, okay. No. But like, if you don't like coconut, you're not going to like the coconut.
And I don't really like coconut, so that would probably
neither do I.
Yeah.
If you have a nut allergy, you're probably not going to like the ones with nuts.
Hey, this one might kill you, might not. Let's find out.
They want a piece of chocolate? Yeah, I love chocolate. Oh my god, there's a walnut in the middle. I'm dying.
Surprise!
I'm going into anaphylactic shock.
Merry Christmas.
But, yeah. Cheese is kind of a big deal around these parts, and they're so good. But I think that's about... I mean, and then, you know, like, I got a bunch of stuff off Steam.
Everyone got a bunch of stuff. Who didn't get something off Steam? I bet a bunch of people who are going to tell me they didn't get something off Steam are going to suddenly realize they got something off Steam after a few days.
I didn't get anything on Steam except for Dragon Age Origins.
That's hardly anything. All I got was Dragon Age Origins and Dawn of War 2 with the expansion pack and Mass Effect 2 Collector's Edition. That's all I got.
And Super Meat Boy and Plants vs. Zombies.
I only spent $50 on Steam on Christmas. That's hardly anything. It's not even a full
and
game.
Poker night at the inventory. But I didn't get anything else. Except for Torchlight.
I didn't get much this week either. I got a couple Bugmans. Just today, in fact, I got my Hyper Kabuto, who is a cyborg future beetle armored man. And the cool thing about him is his beetle wings on the back of his armor can open up, and then you can replace them with beetle wings that have giant ass energy wings coming out of them. And it's a kind of cool effect. I also got from Mandarake, my new favorite thing to totally not go to ever again if I want to keep my money online. I got me these two Bugmans from the Vampire Kamen Rider show from the movie they had. And I like their designs, and I totally forgot what they did because I was like, I don't remember anything about that movie. So I cranked up the movie and had to flip through it. And I was like, I remember why I don't remember anything from this movie because this movie sucks. so I like their designs, but I'm adamantly forgetting everything that they did in the film again because I'm like, yeah, I didn't like that movie at all. I got something else. What was I going to say that I got? Bugman's dead. Oh, I know what I got. I got a horrifying faux pas. I want to thank Pedal Leon for cueing me in on this one. So I put up a new video on That Guy with the Glasses about Omega Spream. And
yeah.
Pedal Leon tells me, so Europe's a country now. And I'm like, what? So I go to watch my own video. And I called Europe a country. So, did my best to try to own that situation,
but
that was pretty bad. So I just told people, like, look, you know, I got plans for the world, and I was thinking ahead of myself, and I'm sorry. And then someone on the site left a comment saying, well, you know, Europe's, every day, Europe's getting farther away from being a continent and closer to being a country, so no worries. I was like, that's going to make some Europeans mad.
You're so dumb.
Nice.
For half a second, I thought that was Seth.
It's like, for real?
You got so far away. That's what I got this week.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. I'm walking off in an hour. Hey, you know what we should do? We should do a listener question.
Yay.
Because they're raping everybody out here.
I got a great banana body?
That's what it sounded like.
Because they're raping everybody out here.
Say it again. Say it again.
Because they're raping everybody out here.
I'm still hearing banana body. I'm sorry. I can't
say. Has your wife.
Has your wife? That's why I can't.
You don't have to come and confess.
No, I don't. So I'm not going to.
We have a rapist in Lincoln Park.
I don't live in Lincoln Park. I don't care.
Because they're raping everybody out here.
Now I'm hearing Great Banana Body.
Has a wife.
They're raping everybody out here.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
You are really dumb.
Listeners, let us know what you think about Seth Buzzard's soundboard in the thread. This is a listener question from Cross Rook on YouTube. Dan, how long has it been since you did a listener question?
It's been quite a while.
Oh. I'm going to read you one now.
Okay.
Quote.
Why does D-Fuzz suck?
Quote. Why does D-Fuzz suck? That's not what it says.
That's how I was born. I apologize.
Ew.
Yeah. Now, quote, for reals. I'm not sure if this is a good place to ask, but here goes. They all say that every time, no matter where they ask the question. They all say, I don't know if this word asked. It's yes. You're asking it in the right place. Thank you. In recent years, there's been a trend wherein popular musicians create the entire score for a movie, such as Daft Punk for the upcoming Tron Legacy film. Yeah, this has been in the queue for a little while. What band would you like to see compose the score for a hypothetical future Transformers movie, and what would it sound like? Thanks if this manages to find its way onto the podcast. It did. Dan. What would you like a Transformers movie to sound like if it was done by a single artist, and who would that artist be?
Linkin Park.
Let's do it. Guess what? It's already been done.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Actually, Tron, or not Tron, Daft Punk is an excellent choice, and that would have been my first choice. Actually, screw it. That is my choice. Daft Punk. It would sound like Daft Punk. It would sound like Tron. There you go.
I don't know where you're pulling these crazy wild parallels from, but that was very impressive.
Yeah, I mean that makes perfect sense to me. I'm a Daft Punk fan, and they handled the Tron score masterfully, I think. So I can't really think of anything that I would like to hear better. So yeah, Daft Punk.
All right, Seth Buzzard.
I made a Devo reference earlier. I'm going to keep that going.
I was about to
I'm gonna say,
and say Devo, but I tried to resist.
Well, I'm not going to say Devo.
Oh!
I'm going to say you hire Miyoto Musica to do it.
Tell me all about Miyoto Musica.
It's basically what Devo does for money nowadays.
Oh.
They did the music for Rugrats.
I like that.
And
music.
lots of commercials and many other movies.
Well,
including Rushmore.
And what?
Thank
what,
you.
What would the sound like? What would the soundtrack sound like?
It would be all kind of like drum machines and electrical sounding.
Ooh, excellent. That's what I want to hear. I'm going to answer the question backwards. I want the next Transformers movie to have a hardcore, just electro-industrial soundtrack, because that's robot music. I don't want to hear anything else. And this is actually not who would be the best for it, but just to push the industrial thing as hard as possible, I'd want it to be agro-tech, and I want the whole soundtrack to be done by Combi Christ. Anyone know who Combi Christ is?
Sounds hardcore.
Combi Christ are an agrotech group. Agrotech is like, I hate genres, but you take industrial, right? On one end of industrial, on the far, far end is synth pop. And then as you move down the line, you go from synth pop to dark wave to electro metal to industrial to techno to EBM to agrotech. And agrotech is basically music that is all about violent music. It's music. It's not like violent lyrics. It's not violent singing. It's just everything about the music makes you want to go and start punching brick walls with your face. And it's awesome stuff. Combi Christ's, I forgot which album. I think Everybody Hates You is the album that always gets me pumped up. And the front man, Andy LaPlaga, that guy, like, his band, often when they do live shows, it's him on vocals and then just a bunch of percussionists and a guy with a laptop. And their live shows are bloody amazing. Like, they have, like, three drum kits, like, live drum kits with three live drummers, and, like, the entire building shakes. It's amazing stuff. And Andy LaPlaga is just, like, That dude is a front man. But I would like to see the Combi Christ Transformers movie score, please. Thank you. Do you guys want to do another listener question, or do you want to just move into spoilers?
Let's do it.
Sure, let's do it.
Spoilers or listener question? Because that was an either-or question, so answering yes doesn't really help me out.
Answering yes to your first question, which was, do you guys want to do another listener question?
Oh, okay.
I was just trying to be positive.
Yes! All right, let me pull up our queue here, because I wasn't sure how much time we'd have, but I think we got time for another one. So let's do this one. Nemesis Springer has a listener question. He says, hey to all you guys on the podcast. Hey, Nemesis Springer. Although you're probably all disembodied heads in tubes by the time this question gets through, everyone's starting to, they're all getting clever about the queue now. I don't know, but now they all know.
They're snarky.
Oh, I'm scathed down to my spine. He continues, I just received Energon Rapid Run and was reminded how awesome Armada Sideways Minicon gimmick was, and it got me wondering, what's your favorite Minicon and why? P.S. Love the podcast. Hope you do. For those who don't know, Rapid Run was a yellow, primarily yellow repaint of Armada Sideways, whose Minicon gimmick was very unique in that he had two Minicons who could combine into a rider for his motorcycle mode, or each one could become a different head for his robot mode, which was a really cool gimmick, and the gimmick side of it was awesome. It was the actual robot toy beneath the gimmick that kind of sucked. So, Dan, Minicons, what was the one that worked the most for you?
Oh, man, this is not the best question for me because I'm not a big Minicon fan.
I was looking at this question, and I was thinking, like, do I put Dan on the spot with this or not? And I was like, I wonder. And
I'm going to have to go with Armada Megatron. Just because his Minicon is named Leader One. If I'm remembering my Armada correctly, yeah, I believe. Yeah. When they first brought out Megatron and said that, you know, hey, he's got Minicon, his name Leader One, I said, and my GoBot fanboy inside went, yes! So, yeah, we'll go with that.
That happened to me, too. Seth, what is your favorite Minicon?
I really liked the, okay, first of all, let me backtrack. I mean, this listener question really is old if this guy just got an Armada figure.
Energon figure. That's after Armada.
An Energon figure. Still, this question's very old. It's been sitting around for a very long time.
I don't know what happened to
it. He wrote that question before we even start. I know. That's how old it is.
During our test show. Oh, my God.
I know. This guy had foresight and vision. But I really liked the Minicon that came with the smaller Optimus Prime, like the deluxe size Optimus Prime. Yeah, I think some people refer to it as Bendy Prime.
That Minicon actually looked like Leader One.
Yes. It is. Well, except for it turned into like a weird sci-fi plane and not like a realistic plane like Leader One did. Otherwise, and it had a completely different looking head.
That's true.
Otherwise, yeah, I guess it did look exactly like Leader One.
So yeah. Correct. I love being backed up finally. This is good.
It also looked like Psykill at the same time, which is weird.
Wow. But,
hey, those designers.
Mind blown.
But I like that one because it turned into a little robot, a little airplane, and a sick gun.
Yeah.
Called Jack Ruby Bot.
I liked that when they repainted the Bendy Prime into, because that guy was called Overrun, and when they repainted Bendy Prime into Nemesis Prime, his Minicon was called Run Over.
Whoa.
Which is a really lousy name. Because, like, it's like, if you don't know there's another one called Overrun, having a little dude called Run Over just doesn't make any sense when he's a plane.
Unless it's a car.
Yeah, and he's a plane. Who turns into a gun and a robot.
He taxied over.
He can't run anybody over.
Well, when he's taxiing on the runway.
That's not being run over. Because when they taxi, that's more like you. It's not like you can accidentally get trodden on by a taxiing airplane. You got to actively try to do it or be thrown in front of it while you're tied up like Snidely Whiplash on a railroad track. Just saying. I don't want the podcast audience to think that, you know, we're not knowledgeable about how to kill people with airplanes.
Don't want them getting the wrong idea.
You suck
them
into the intake.
Yeah. Fine red mist. My favorite mini con is actually a three pack, and I like a lot of mini cons. Actually, many of them do it for me, you know, as little, you know, fiddly fun toys. But and I'm not gonna go into the Power Core ones because they are mini cons, but they have such a different design aesthetic in how they transform. I feel that would muddle things up a bit too much. In terms of the ones who had alt modes and vehicle modes, I really like that three pack with the submarine. That was, I believe those were those the ones that were repainted for the TF Collector Club Astro Train? I want to say they were.
I believe so.
The,
talk about like the C-Team or something like that.
Yeah, the C-Team with the submarine.
C-Team.
Because, I mean, that submarine is, I think, probably my favorite one, but, I like them all. Oh no, he didn't. Oh no, he did have the submarine. Yeah, he had the submarine. It's the submarine, the plane, and the little truck, the crane truck. And I like them as a trio, but I do like the submarine the most. I'd say the submarine. Yeah, that submarine. That's my favorite minicon. Because it's got a great alt mode. It's got a great transformation, and the robot mode looks cool. He's got big boots, big arms, and he's pretty poseable. There's something about that minicon as a full package really does it for me. He's always the first minicon I think of when I think of minicons I like. So probably that one. I probably, if I were to assemble all my minicons in front of me, some of the classics ones I might like more, but that submarine one is always the first one in my mind when I think about cool minicons. So there you go. Although, you know, that three pack of the police car and whatnot, it could turn into guns and missile pods, they're pretty cool too. But This is why I can't make a top 10 list, because I keep second guessing myself every 2 minutes. That's why when we had the staff picks list, I totally freaked out. I was like, I don't know what to say.
When we had the staff picks list, I kept putting it off, and then it was too late.
That happened too. That happened to me as well. I don't know. I was actually going to ask the listeners. Maybe it's a good time. Do you guys want us, like the podcast hosts, to do any kind of top 10s? At all?
No.
Like if we haven't done one?
No.
You know, just let us know. I will lay this out right now. There's no way in hell I'm doing top 10 Transformers of the decade, because I can't make that list. Do you know how many Transformers came out in the last decade? Like well over 10.
Oodles.
Yeah.
Oodles and oodles.
When I see people doing those top Transformers of the decade lists, I'm just always sitting there going like, you know, I can't shut out the second guessing. The way that other folks must be able, there's no way you could sit down and really objectively go like, what was the, like in a week, objectively go like, what were the best 10 Transformers in the last 10 years? It's like, I don't understand how that thought process can work, because there's so many qualities in each one that one can assess. I don't know. Anyway, that's getting way off topic. Hope we answered your question. We got some spoiler talk coming up, and truthfully, it's just a whole bunch of toy talk. But some of you guys don't want to hear about this. So plug your ears, hold your breath, and wait until you hear the tone.
This is the spoiler section. From this point forward, the virginity of your experience with upcoming Transformers media will be at fatal risk. Turn back now, or bear your penance for eternity!
So, okay, let me just lay this out. I don't know if you guys know this, but when they produce Transformer toys, sometimes they get stolen off the factory lines and get put on eBay and put on the internet.
That's a crime.
I'm laying this out right now. And I don't know if you guys know this, but like every day we are getting some new picture of some Dark of the Moon toy. Every day, some new picture. So I just want to open it up. Whatever pictures you guys want to talk about of the stuff that's shown up. We've had like three Legends show up in the last day and a half. We've got Voyager Megatron, Voyager Ironhide pics. We've got all the pics from that German site who got like the Hasbro Photoshop pictures. for promotional purposes and whatnot. Whatever out there that you think is worth talking about. Dan, I know that you've been totally into all these new movie toys popping up, so...
Oh, boy. I do like... Okay, yeah, we are in the spoiler section, so I can talk freely.
Whatever you want.
I do like the Voyager Ironhide. I think Ironhide was probably my favorite from the first set of movie toys. I did not buy a lot of Revenge of the Fallen toys. I probably bought maybe 3 or 4. And I'm shortchanging it here. Under 10. I bought under 10 of those. But for the first movie, I bought pretty much everything that came out. And I'd have to say Ironhide was my favorite. And I really kind of like this one. He feels a bit different. He feels a bit more of a bipedal robot. I mean, yeah. All of these Transformers have, like, you know, the mass amounts of jaggies and plastic, you know, to resemble their movie counterparts. But for some reason, this one feels more like he's actually like a, you know, in that human form to me. And I don't know. I love, like, the little gold highlights on it. The one thing that's a little jarring to me is that big ass gun that, or whatever that cannon thing is, yeah, that goes on the roof in his truck mode.
That's that mech tech gimmick in action. But again, like, you know, for that Ironhide, that gun kind of works because the dude's insane.
Yeah, I mean, when he's in robot mode and it's like under his arm, that looks kind of cool. But in truck mode, it just looks really bizarre.
He's in disguise. Don't worry.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody would see him coming at all. Yeah, Ironhide, easily my favorite, and I actually will probably be picking that one up. The Legends figures, I really don't care for the Legends figures, period. I don't buy those figures. There's really nothing there for me. There was a Bumblebee.
NASCAR mystery. Dude, and a Wrecker and a Dread, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean... It's interesting to see the little Wrecker guy there. Wait, yeah. He turns into like a Lowe's car or something like that.
Johnny Lowe the Wrecker.
He's got hair. Look at that head sculpt. He's totally got long hair.
Does he?
Kind of looks like it.
It's
a mullet.
Yeah, he's got a racer mullet.
Oh yeah, he does.
He's got a robot mullet because he's a NASCAR and they are making fun of NASCAR fans. So all the NASCAR fans out there should start writing your angry letters to Hasbro and Paramount now.
Ooh.
Don't wait for the movie to come out. Preemptive strike.
I want to throw out a couple
something
thoughts.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
Oh. Oh, I was going to say something interesting somebody brought up in the thread, though, about those Legends figures is that the Wrecker there has kind of like a port on his chest, it looks like. Possibly for, I don't know if it's like combining or...
Well, there is
Minicon action or something like that. But yeah, it looks like there's like a hole, like a port there right in the center of his chest for something.
There is that gimmick that I think on the German site, because there's mech tech for the bigger toys, but there was one on the Legends and I forgot what it was called, but it was cyber something or other.
Okay.
Maybe he can cyber with the other
cyber
Legends
plug.
Toys.
So am I missing any other leaked toys?
Those are the major ones outside of the truck Megatron, and that one's...
Oh, yeah.
That one's been kicking around for a while now. I think he's the first one.
I completely forgot about that one because he's been around for so long. Yeah, he looks pretty neat. Little cloak cape thing that he's got going on there. Always a fan of robots wearing cape type things, so...
Yeah,
I'll probably pick him up too.
Yeah, before I just wanted to, because you brought up Ironhide, and I had just seen the newer photos of him, and it's funny because I was looking at them, and you see the nice thing about that Ironhide is the deluxe Ironhide they released recently was kind of like a preview of that one, in that it was an Ironhide toy who transformed way less complicatedly and had way fewer panels hanging off of him. Albeit also he was really short because he's a deluxe, but this one amazed me because I was looking at it and just like, you know, aside from looking really on model and really, like you said, bipedal, I was staring at him and I was just like, where did half the truck go?
Yeah.
And so I was like, it must be on his backpack. Next picture is a shot from the back. There's no backpack. And I was like, where does the truck go? So I got really excited because that was actually my very first stolen Chinese toy was a pre-release Mint in Box 2007 Ironhide that I ordered off of eBay because I really wanted a movie toy because I was in the hype and I thought Ironhide looked the coolest. And he's always been – I need to get like the blue – Allspark blue Ironhide from the first movie toy line and like the blue two-pack Ironhide, Recon Ironhide from the Walmart exclusives, and that Ironhide, then I'll have every Voyager Ironhide, because I keep buying Voyager Ironhides. I don't know why, because he was my first movie toy, and I like his design, and I like how his toys transform, and that one looks gorgeous. I always liked him because he's just like, he's a big dude with massive football shoulder pads and a cowboy hat, and he's got a cow face and guns, and there's something about that that makes me laugh, and I like him. So I got to see how he transforms. It looks ideally like it would be very impressive. Either that or I'm just totally missing something obvious and someone in the thread's going to go like, "Don't you see where they slot into tab B? Everything slots into tab B, you fool." And I talked a lot about that Megatron when I tried to fix episode 127. So that's all out there as well. Seth, anything new in the Dark of the Moon toy realm that's caught your eye?
Well, actually, going back to the Johnny Lowe's and Black Truck guy, the Legends, I'm finding these the most interesting because these are things that we don't really know about. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know about Ironhide. You could judge that against other Ironhides. You have a frame of reference. There's continuity with Ironhide.
There's a lot.
Who cares about Ironhide?
Ironhide cares about Ironhide.
Get it, transform and roll.
See my cannons.
Roll out. The new freshness is in town. There's a different black truck up in this biz, and a NASCAR with advertising.
Hey.
Which is what NASCAR does. But they're totally wussing out with Lowe's. They should have gotten like Marlboro or something. Copenhagen. But,
he should have been smoking.
Yeah, so what are we thinking about these, the wreckers? So those are good guys, right? And then, what are these other ones? Yeah, what are these other guys? The black truck guy.
I want to say they're called the Dreads.
Are these going to be our generic Decepticons that they can just blow up like crazy? Yeah, like they're battle android troopers that they can just blow up.
Optimus Prime's going to pull one of their spines out and like fillet the other one with it. I don't know.
Give me your back.
Yeah. I mean, if these are just kind of like generic drones for killing, then I like that better than the hatchlings or whatever the crap, just the dumb
skeleton robots with
silver.
Giant cannons.
Yeah, it's ugh. This is so much better.
The Transformers who have no alt modes and thus are way less interesting to look at.
Yeah, for a long period of time. And being Legends, they're super simplified. The actual things could look pretty different than this, but at least we're getting an idea of what these wreckers are going to be like. And this, what appears to be a mullet on a NASCAR, kind of makes me a little skids mud flappy.
I like, love it. But again, I have no context or concept of NASCAR stereotypes. I just think it's awesome to have a robot with a cable mullet.
Yeah, I just hope they're not stereotypes. I hope they're not all talking like this. Hey, Optimus Prime, we're wreckers. We're here to mess some stuff up, good old boy.
Yeehaw! See, I'm learning here because I didn't even know there were stereotypes about NASCAR viewers.
Oh yeah, there are, boy. I'll tell you what, go down to NASCAR. Get that number 42 car in there. Get a little Dale Earnhardt up there. We're trading paint.
If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing.
Yeah.
I'm so lost.
I'm gonna groan so hard if at any point in Dark of the Moon, it's like, come on, boys, we gotta go trade some paint with these Decepticreeps. Oh my god.
I'm just going to throw my popcorn straight up in the air and storm out.
You're like out of the room before it hits the ground.
Just going to throw it in the air and go, I'm out. I'm done. Can't take it anymore. I tried. I really did.
I also like the idea of you groaning so hard that you just start coughing up blood. It's grown too deep and too heavy.
Oh, God. You mean the morning?
Yeah.
That's every morning, man. You just got to be there to witness it, bro.
Every morning, cough up 2 pints of blood. That's how you know you're alive.
Yeah. I reckon.
I just don't want them to be stereotypes. And not because, like, I think there's some deeper integrity of NASCAR that must be maintained.
All the NASCAR fans were just about to give you this universal praise. And you're like, it's not like I think NASCAR fans are people or anything. And they're like,
no, I'm not talking about the fans. I'm talking about, like, the thing itself, like the concept of NASCAR. It's not for me. It's not something that I take any interest in. But, like, after the skids and mud flap debacle.
Debacle.
Just the idea of, like, you know, taking the easy way out with characterization of basing things on stereotypes or characters on stereotypes, and then having something so easy to pull stereotypes from as something like NASCAR. It's like, just please resist the urge to take the easy way out. Like, you know, maybe, so what, there's three of them, like, okay, like, give one of them, like, a southern drawl. That would be okay, but they don't all have to be like that.
Make one of the other ones a pro wrestling fan stereotype. Still sure. Real to me, damn it! Anyone know that? No? Okay.
Maybe they'll be voiced by NASCAR drivers.
Oh, there you go. Get the Earnhardt Jr. in there.
Yeah. That's the only one whose name I know.
I was trying to figure out a Transformersization of Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Rusty Wallace. Can't think of any others. I don't even know if Rusty Wallace drives anymore.
Special and Ops Earnhardt.
The only reason I know who Rusty Wallace is when he was driving a lot.
Wait, his name's Rusty Wallace?
Yeah.
That would be perfect for a Transformer name.
Dick Trickle.
Dude.
Don't Ido 11 that. That's an actual dude's actual name.
You can say Dick. I say Dick all the time. Dick, 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 Dick.
Trickle.
You can't say Trickle. Take that back.
Maybe one of them will be voiced by Glenn Morshower.
I will flip out if... Oh, man.
But anyway, just to digress, we used to have a guy at work who would, on hot days, change into shorts before leaving to go home. And he had a pair of shorts with Rusty Wallace on them, which was weird. And that guy was kind of strange.
You think he'd dig a Rusty Wallace Transformer?
Well, I mean, if his face is on his shorts, then you... I mean, it's weird to wear a pair of shorts with a dude's face on them, right? I mean, I'm not the weird one.
Yeah, I don't usually wear anything shorts, pants, underwear-wise with faces on them, but
yeah.
That's my stylistic choice.
Yeah, but I'm not the weird one thinking that that would be weird to do. Wear orange shorts with a dude's face on them.
Well, it depends what the face,
like,
is doing.
A lot. Smiling.
That's perfect, then.
Which is what it was
He's
doing.
He's going like, hey, welcome. It's a happy summer day. Me and Rusty here. Yeah. We're going to... It'd be awesome if he just referred to the shorts as Rusty.
Yeah, got my Rusty shorts on. This guy also looked like an Ewok. I mean, I'm just going to say that. I'm going to throw that out there. Imagine a human Ewok.
Is this another NASCAR stereotype I'm not aware of?
No, this is just describing the dude that wore the Rusty Wallace shorts. No, he didn't have a mullet. But he had a very hairy face. He looked like an Ewok with Rusty Wallace shorts on. He was a weird dude. That's the point I'm trying to make.
All right,
I'm trying to get this across. This dude was weird.
I could further iterate how weird he is if I told you his name, but I don't want to like shout out the dude's name because that would be rude.
That would be that would be a poor form. Is the
I'll tell you off, Mike.
Yeah, it's recorded anyway. Put it in after the music. I won't do that. I don't engage in poor form. I'm a gentleman. Is there anything else that popped up for the movie? There was the bit about Bill. I can't remember how to pronounce his last name. Bill Fagerbakke is going to be voicing a Chevy Impala stock car with machine guns on it. But I figured, like, I almost put this in as a topic, but I was kind of like, all we know is that the guy who voiced Bulkhead and Patrick from SpongeBob is going to play a Transformer. And in the movie-verse, that might mean he's going to just say, "You there!" and then die. So,
well, wait, okay. The guy that was Patrick in SpongeBob, who was also the big dope from Coach.
Yeah.
And he's a stock car.
Yes.
That means he's one of the wreckers.
Could be. Is this going into another NASCAR thing?
He's going to be a stereotype. Because he played kind of a dumb southerner in Coach.
Uh-oh.
And you can't get much more south than Under the Sea, where he was a dumb starfish. He's going to be a dumb robot. He's going to be like, "What are you doing, Optimus Prime? Let's go trade some paint."
What does "trade some paint" even mean? Does that mean like when you scrape your car against another car?
There, you figured it out.
That's a
good job.
That's a weird.
You reverse engineered that phrase. Well, good job.
How are you
You're
trading,
a linguist.
How are you trading paint, though? It's all just flying off. It's no one's keeping any of it. I don't know.
No, when they rub up against each other, some paint gets stuck to each car. So now there's some blue paint on the red kind of one with the Tide logo. And now then there's some blue paint, or there's some red paint on the blue one with the Lowe's logo.
If someone tried trading paint with me without asking first, I would hit their car with my car.
And then they're both kind of angry at the Target one because they're like, "He thinks he's so cool." And then they all
offering all those low prices.
Yeah.
Look at that bullseye.
Yeah.
I want to talk for a sec about this new Legends Bumblebee figure, only because I love how every movie, you know, for all the guys who already have 500 Legends toys, they always make a brand new Legends mold for them just because they can improve it. So it's like now Bumblebee's Legend toy has like rounded shins. That's like the major improvement. But they were like, "We can still fix this up some more." I don't know. I like that. Like they did that with Optimus Prime's Legend last movie in Revenge of the Fallen. Like, there's no reason to, but they were like, "No, we can make the Legend look better. We can make it transform more fun." And it looks like he might also have one of those funny-looking little ports on his pelvis, but I'm not sure. That means he can...
Pelvic port.
You can link Bumblebee's pelvis to the Dread's chest, and then they can cyber.
But then how would he spark himself?
Well, that's for afterwards.
Ah.
I don't know. All these NASCAR stereotypes can go spark themselves. I don't know what this is all about. That's our spoiler section, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Thank you for joining us again, Dan DFuzz of TFW2005.com and Twitter.com/DFuzz.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Always good to be here.
Yeah, I will pester you again sometime.
Feel free.
And best of luck with the new family member, as it were.
Thank you. We call her Micro Fuzz right now.
Best of luck with the Micro Fuzz. I hope we haven't kept you away from Micro Fuzz tending duties too long here.
She should hopefully be asleep by now. So,
knock on wood, yeah. Right now, yeah, right definitely. Now. Okay. You don't say stuff like that.
Yes.
thank you for coming by again, Seth.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I hate you.
I
Get out.
If I had a little microphone deep inside my heart, it would amplify my love for you. But the words get stuck in my throat. The words get stuck in my throat.
I just stuck myself.
The words get stuck in my throat.
Good night, everybody.
Go fuck yourself.
Get stuck in my throat.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.